The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. What an exciting time, exciting weekend as we wait with the anticipation. Two teams that will square off will hope to be, one of them will be victorious over Super Bowl 54 with the AFC champions, Kansas City Chiefs, and the NFC champions, the San Francisco 49ers. What a weekend, what a Sunday it is. But according to statistics, it says the odds are with the Chiefs. A 1.5 favorite to win. And according to the TV ratings, over 110 million people will be watching the game. You might be asking yourself, why are we talking about the game? Well, to be honest, folks, it's part of our lives. I like the Chiefs. And lastly, I believe that we'll see the Lord-given glory, with all that's within me, at the end of the game about the talents and the efforts of these men after tonight's game. So I am really excited. So today, as you're traveling down the highway, wherever you might be, we want to thank you for listening. Maybe you're on your way to church. And again, we want to thank you for taking time out of your morning to participate in Vital Ministries. And also, too, maybe this is simply your time. This is your church. We want to thank you for listening and being part, again, for how vital can be an important part of your life. But with that being said, again, we're excited about the teaching this morning. I have a surprise for us today. We're going to start our new teaching series, The Five Ways to Love and Communicate in Marriage, but we're going to put that on hold for today. One week, we're going to look at something different, a special program this morning, but next week, we're going to be talking about how we can communicate and how we can love better in marriage. Last week, I had the opportunity to go to Gateway Church of the Nazarene right here in Oskaloosa to hear a subject title intrigued me as I heard it on. It said, Lessons Learned from a Dead Man. I first heard about that on KCWN 99.9, and I didn't realize it was actually going to be the senior pastor from Gateway Church of the Nazarene right here in Oskaloosa, Pastor Darren Milton. I listened with great anticipation about his actual death experience and have asked Pastor Darren to be with us this morning, share his testimony, his lessons learned from coming back from the death encounter and getting a second chance on life. So with that, I want to give this man plenty of time to share his story this morning. I want to welcome Pastor Darren Milton this morning to KBOE 104.9 FM and also to Vital Ministries. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much for the invitation, and I'm excited to be with you and share some of the things that the Lord taught me that day on the gurney.
The day on the gurney. I love that. But before we jump in, I want you to share a little bit. I know you haven't lived here. You're not a native Oskaloosan.
No.
And share us a little bit about your journey, about yourself, about how you got here, and also, too, about Gateway Church of the Nazarene.
Okay. Well, I actually grew up in Iowa, a small town called Tabor on the southwest corner. Went to Fremont Mills High School. The town kind of sat on the county line there, and so they named the high school that. But really went away to college and have served in various churches since then. But we've been back in Oskaloosa for just a little over a year. I think it was the first Sunday of the new year in 2019 when we moved here.
Okay.
We found Oskaloosa to be a wonderful place, some great people, and have thoroughly enjoyed being a part of Gateway Church of the Nazarene. Those folks have welcomed us. It's a great place to be, and it's a great place to be included. And so if you're looking for a church in this area, we would welcome you to come and check us out. We have strong ministries for children and teenagers, really strong. We have a morning worship service every Sunday at 10:30, and our Sunday school times at 9 o'clock. And it's a relaxed, casual atmosphere. And we'll offer you some free coffee when you walk in the door, or you can check out the cafe and find some other goodies there as well, additionally. But we just enjoy the presence of God and His people, and would welcome anyone to be a part of that. We're also hosting Upward Basketball.
Yes, that's and, exciting.
We're
what's
in
going
the,
on in the
midst of
yes.
that. Those happen every Saturday morning. Of course, the practices go on throughout the week, so
right.
it's a great time.
How many kids do you have show up on a Saturday morning?
Well, there's approximately 320 kids in the program.
And including families. And
so then you think about their families, probably 1,000 people.
That are on your campus on a Saturday morning.
Yes. This year we do have two locations. The elementary school has opened their doors to us, so it's really helped.
Right here in Oskaloosa.
Be able to have, have more games at once. And
right.
So it's a good time.
That's awesome. You know, as you've been sharing, and one thing I would echo that as my experience with on Sunday morning, I was very much impressed. It is come as you are. I saw that across the board. Yeah, there's some that are there and they're wearing a suit and tie, sure. But also too, you got the person that's running around in the jeans and just the casual shirt, and it creates what I would say. And relax. The worship service was founded. Your worship pastor does a wonderful job.
Yes, he does.
He is so good.
Great team.
Very plugged into the Holy Spirit and just how the whole morning flowed. But I want us to share a little bit about your 5 points. I want you to share with us what those 5 points are and what happened on the gurney.
Okay.
So let's jump in at point number one.
Wednesday, December 11th.
Okay.
2019. I awoke about 5:30, 5:40 in the morning. I just did not feel good. I couldn't describe it. You know, my wife was asking me, what's wrong? I said, I just don't feel good. I don't know how to explain this, but I thought I had the flu. Never have had the flu before.
Right.
But I thought, you know, this just sounds like what people say when they have the flu. She thought maybe I had bronchitis or pneumonia. I thought if I went in the bathroom and breathed enough steam,
that would cover
that I would be all right. Well, after she was very persistent, and so I relented, and we headed to the ER. And thank the Lord, I listened to my wife.
Right. Yes, without a doubt.
And so we arrived there, I think about 6:40 in the morning, 6:45. They took great care of me. I'm so thankful for Mahaska Health and the way that they moved to action quickly. Mm. A nurse by the name of Harmony there. On duty that day, and I'm so glad that she was. In fact, I think there was a shift change at 7.
Okay.
And so she had just come on. Well, this happened about 7:05 or 7:07, somewhere in that time frame. She went to raise the head of the bed up so she could take my temperature, and I just got so dizzy. In fact, the room began to spin more than I've ever been dizzy before, and that was the last thing I remember on this side. Now, so in those moments, she went to work. I understand she did chest compressions on me for a minute and a half, and I'm so thankful. And I've been very healthy all my life, and so this was just a shock. In fact, until really that moment, I didn't think this was serious. Now, she had asked me just a few moments before that, have I ever been told I had an irregular heartbeat? And I said, well, no, I haven't. So that alerted me, hey, something's up here.
Something's different. Something's
changed. And then within just a few moments, I was gone. Now, we could debate death and where I was and what was taking place. But as I asked Dr. Breon later, he said, your heart was in such a rhythm, such a state that left unattended. If you hadn't have been here.
Right.
And then we both knew what was coming after that. And so I just thank the Lord that he put so many little things in place for me to stay here. And the next thing I knew on this side, I was coming back, and I don't know when something startles me or moves me, I kind of yell, that type of a sound. And I remember doing that. In fact, my wife and son, who had been in the room and were ushered out immediately, you know, when that took place, could still hear what was going on in there. So you can imagine what they were sensing and feeling in those moments. And you know, all through that, I'm just amazed at how God works. But upon coming back, I opened my eyes, and there were about 20 eyeballs that were as big as saucers that were just looking at me. And my next thought was, oh, this can't be good.
Right.
And then I realized I must have died. And that's a sobering moment, you know, laying on the gurney. And so they were able to get me stable. And in those moments, it got kind of quiet in the room before they let Dawn back in. And so I did some serious praying that morning on the gurney.
Dawn's your wife, right?
I'm sorry. Yes, Dawn is my wife.
Okay.
My wife and youngest son.
Connecting the dots here. Yes.
Forgive me.
No, that's all good.
Yes. And so She and my youngest son, who is still at home.
Okay.
We have two older that are in Kansas City area and married. So they were ushered in that other room, and I can only imagine what they were sensing and feeling. But I thanked the Lord. I just remember the word that I would describe this experience was grateful. I was just tremendously grateful for God's touch, you know, the way he was working, how he put so many things in place and so many people.
Right.
Wonderful people. Mm-hmm. We have a great healthcare system, and I'm blessed and grateful for it. So in these moments, mm-hmm. before they flew me to Mercy, mm-hmm. and so the helicopter came from Knoxville. And
you were life-flighted.
Life-flighted to Mercy, and then it was in the heart cath lab. And I don't know if I showed you this, Mike, but that spot on my wrist.
I see that.
They went in that little spot there and went up into my heart and sucked out a blood clot.
Oh, wow.
And put two stents in. Just
amazing.
Remarkable technology.
Remarkable. Yes.
And what they can do
yes.
these days.
Right.
But I'm just so blessed. But yet in those moments, mm-hmm. this was right after I was brought back and prior to being flown and even knowing what all the problem was, mm-hmm. you know, I was doing some praying. And the Lord was speaking to me mm-hmm. very softly, very gently. And I will say this, I had no fear of death in that moment. It was really strange almost, but you know, the scripture is true. The peace that passes understanding.
Right.
God gave that in those moments.
You were experiencing that.
I think there's extra elements of grace that we receive in times like that where we just don't know what to do. Mm. And we're just at the mercy of the Lord and you know, the situation. But he gave extra grace. And there were five things. Well, you know, that later that night, he just spoke all these. And I'm just trying to put them down as quick as I can.
Right.
But I was remembering all of this going through the day. Mm-hmm. And there were five things that were just highlighted. And the first was our number one priority is our relationship with God.
Yes.
I mean, I was talking to him in that moment. Mm-hmm. I was surrendering everything again, anew, mm-hmm. and saying, Lord, I'm yours.
Right.
I'm yours completely. I gave that to you long ago, and I have tried to give that to you every day of my life, that myself, here I am. I yield my will to yours. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't think that's the question here, Lord. I'm yours anew. But I said, God, I would really like to hang around here. I'd like to
have
my family.
A little more time. Yeah.
Yes.
I got to think about it. It's kind of like King Hezekiah asking for more time.
I thought the same thing, Mike. I think that's a great analogy. But his 15 years that he was added weren't so good.
It's no, like, it wasn't.
Lord,
no, it was pretty kind of selfish there. Yes.
Can you give me a few better years than he had?
Yeah.
But definitely. But our number one priority is our relationship with God. And so on that gurney, I was praying, Lord, I surrender all to you. Mm-hmm. I would love to see my family. And then I had this thought, and I'll share it more in a point just in the near future. But mm-hmm. I'd really like to pastor and preach again. I love what God has called me to do.
And you're very good at it, Pastor Darren.
Well, thank
just
you.
Just do a great job. You're even this morning. Your voice has a settling and a soothing. And it's like
well,
salve
you.
That helps over sometimes our wounds of life.
Sure. Well, I appreciate
yes.
that, my friend.
Yeah.
You have a great radio voice as well. But I would really, Lord, like to be able to preach and be with our folks again. You know, that shepherding, I think, part of pastoring. Mm. And so the next thought in that was, who am I pleasing? So in that number one priority, I just made a commitment right there. Mm-hmm. God, I'm going to please you from mm-hmm. and you alone from this point forward. Mm-hmm. And then this thought came to me, things don't matter, but people do.
Yes. Great point. Love it.
And I'll have to tell you, Mike, as I thought back on this, I reflected and realized, hey, I didn't think about a house one time
right.
on that gurney. I didn't think about a truck or a vehicle.
Right.
I didn't think about a man shed in the backyard, which we enjoy probably spending
yeah.
some time in. But,
sure.
you know, those things didn't matter.
Right.
You know, the only thing that mattered to me was people. Mm-hmm. I remember just trying to be very gracious and kind to the people that were helping me. I tried to think what all they experience in an ER mm-hmm. on any given day.
Right.
The people that come through, the things that happen, they must have a lot of stress in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I could be a blessing to them, even laying on this gurney. Isn't that silly to think? Mm-hmm. And then I thought about my wife, of course, and my children, mm-hmm. and what they must be experiencing and going through. And then, you know, it just kind of the ripple effect, our our church staff and the people in our church, our friends, what all they must be experiencing.
You become family.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
And so in those moments, things don't matter a bit, but people do. And, mm-hmm. and I thought about the verse in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
And I thought, we matter to him to the point of, in fact, God allowing his son to go through that. He, in those moments, I've heard mm-hmm. preachers say this before, that he preferred us over them. Think about that. That's right. Just remarkable.
It is.
And so, you know, it's true. The things just fell by the wayside. That, you know, who cares about those? But people really do matter. And so how I treat them every day, how I interact with them, it makes a difference.
It's more it's more intentional for you now because of the experience that you lived,
yes,
exactly. What happened on the gurney.
So much of life now is more intentional for me. I feel like God has given me extra time, just like, you know, you mentioned with Hezekiah. And so each day is a gift,
yeah,
and a blessing,
yeah,
and people really matter. Mm-hmm. And here's one that's just kind of humorous to me, to not sweat the small stuff.
That was good. I like that. Yes.
Well, and two, since then, you know, if we had, let's say in front of us, we had these two baskets, you know, that represented big stuff and small stuff. There are some big things in our lives.
Yes.
But, you know, I think a lot of things lately I've moved out of that big box or basket category to the small category, because really when you're facing life and death and when you have, you know, come to the realization that, wow, I am blessed.
Yeah.
And every day's a gift. Some of the things that maybe we got excited about or even upset about, you know, just kind of pale in comparison and don't really matter as much, at least to me in this moment. So I was laying on the gurney, and when I first went in, there was some serious poking and prodding.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure. I can only imagine.
Bless their hearts. They were trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I remember there was a swab that was stuck up my nose. I don't know how far. I think it tickled my brain.
Right.
Have you ever had the flu test?
Yeah, sure.
So they were doing that. They were, you know, starting IVs. But not once did I say, hey, you get away from me. That hurt. Or, you know, you can't do that. That's rude. Or, you know, no, I was just thankful to be there. And whatever they needed to do, it didn't matter. And I thought about that moment in light of this, that, you know, depending on what is going on, situations in our life, well, maybe some things that we get upset about or, you know, riled about, maybe we should just, you know, do some reflection and take some new inventory and realize I don't have to sweat the small stuff. Mm-hmm. Part of the rehab that I'm doing is a wonderful lady at the hospital here at Mahaska Health named Renee, and she's allowing me to watch some videos from doctors on, you know, how to care for ourselves. Mm-hmm. In light of coronary artery disease.
Right.
And so I've been watching those, and they've been talking about stress, how we can't eliminate it.
Right.
But we can manage it.
Yes.
And it's how we deal with it. And so I've really been trying to concentrate on how to deal with stress positively, mm-hmm. in a helpful way. Mm-hmm. Everything from deep breathing to just, you know, letting some things go.
Right.
Relax.
Right. I like on my Apple Watch, every now and then it kicks in and says, take time to breathe.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I've got a Fitbit since that event.
Yeah. Okay. You're and, getting more
intentional.
It'll say
everything from that to get up and move, Darren. Yeah. Get up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
At this point especially, Pastor Darren really spoke to my heart when you gave these 5 points about this small stuff, because it's easier to make things bigger than what they are. But
it is.
It was. Thank you.
You're welcome. And
yes.
In that, the scripture came to mind from Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. Think about that.
Yes.
But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, there's that verse again,
mm-hmm.
that goes beyond even our comprehension. Peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I sensed that and felt that day,
right.
in just a remarkable way,
mm-hmm.
in a God-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was there and present in the room.
Right.
And I am so grateful.
Right.
couple more thoughts that I had regarding this, that there's hope.
Yeah.
There is hope.
Thank goodness there's hope.
Yes, and as long as there's breath, there's hope. So I'm thinking about, you know, the guy or the gal that's maybe driving down the road today that's just contemplating life.
Right.
Can I just remind you, can I remind all of us, myself today, there's always hope.
Right.
And so even in the midst of, you know, anxious moments where I'm wondering, hey, am I going to live or die? Because at that point, we didn't know what all was entailed. We didn't know what was to come, how blocked an artery was. You know, the heart attack is the blockage side. The cardiac arrest is the electrical side of the heart. So, you know, we're trying to figure out where are we in this?
Right.
Before they, you know, were able to take me to Mercy and diagnose all of this. So in the midst of those moments, you know, there's hope because God is with us. And I think as long as there's breath, there's opportunity to have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is cry out to him, you know, and repent and receive what he has to offer us. And and he does the work in us.
Right.
So I'm reminded that there is hope. And, you know, the 23rd Psalm, Mike.
Actually, I loved your verse. Outstanding.
Well, it just is, I think, so meaningful to me now. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, you know, think about that moment that I was in, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of our listeners are there today feeling that way.
Right.
But even though I'm there in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, which I experienced, the peace of God. Mm-hmm. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't just words that were written hundreds of years ago that that are not meaningful. They're so true. They ring true about who God is and how he operates in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there and he was present.
Mm-hmm.
I had an episode after this event during rehab one day.
Mm-hmm.
I had been on a fast. We did a 10-day Daniel fast.
Which, okay. I've never done that before. But
in the book of Daniel, in chapter 1 and chapter 10, it talks about a fast.
Yes.
It talks about basically him eating vegetables and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we encouraged our church to do that for 10 days at the beginning of the year. And so we were in the midst of it. In fact, I think it was day 10. And so I hadn't had any meat, you know, during that time. So I was really trying to find other sources of protein, like nuts and various things. And so I went to rehab that morning after eating a small breakfast and taking my medication, which was not slow release, but fast release. And so I'm still trying to get adjusted and acclimated to this. And so I was, you know, I worked out pretty good for 50 minutes. And in that probably 45th minute, I was on the bicycle and I just started feeling bad. And it was reminiscent of what I experienced December 11th. And I'm thinking, oh no, no, Lord, please. So Renee went into action, you know, and I sat down and she started caring for me and asking me a lot of questions, taking blood pressure. Of course, I'm wired up to, you know, their machine. So they're gauging and watching my heart. And she's saying it's fine and reassuring me. And so that was wonderful. But the rest of the day, I just didn't feel good. You know, I think probably my blood pressure and sugar dropped pretty low in those moments. And so I don't want to focus on that, but just, you know, some background to what I was feeling. And so I went home, got ready, went to the church. And again, just, you know, feeling lousy.
Right.
And I got to my door, and there was a stick-it note on the door.
Oh, yes.
And he had prompted one of our parishioners, a wonderful lady named Isla.
I know Isla. Good just woman of God.
Yes. Godly.
Steadfast.
Yes, godly woman. It's been a great encouragement to our family. And she had heard this from Dr. David Jeremiah, a great Bible teacher.
Yes.
And he had made this statement, you know, about God's man in God's place. You know, is there until God says otherwise.
Right.
Now, that's a loose translation of it. But it was so meaningful to me that day. And it really encouraged me that she would take the time, you know, and say, oh, Pastor, I found this quote here. You know, here it is. In fact, I think his quote is immortal for his purpose and place in that time. And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, really, that's so true that I'm here until God says otherwise.
Right.
And so it was really encouraging that day. And so again, maybe you're in a place that you're really discouraged, and God allowed me to go through a season of depression several years ago, and it, thank the Lord it was short, mm-hmm. but it helped me to understand what someone in that goes through. It is not pretty. It right. is a dark place.
That's a big thing in our society today is depression.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And this is something that God can help us with. And sometimes, you know, we don't see a healing completely like we would like to. Mm-hmm. But he can give us strength and coping grace to go through it, like Paul experienced with the thorn in his flesh.
Right.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness.
Right.
So I'm reminded there's always hope. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that. The last thought that I had, you know, on the gurney there, mm-hmm. as God was putting it all together,
right,
was that we need to live ready.
Yes.
We need to live and die ready. We need to be ready to live, be ready to die.
Yeah, good words.
And so, you know, I've thought about that. Well, in the midst of death, I was ready to die. But now I'm thinking of it just a little differently. Am I ready to live? Am I ready to, you know, to seize the day, mm-hmm. to take advantage of the opportunities that God is giving me mm-hmm. on a moment-by-moment basis? Mm-hmm. And so this thought of we're one breath away.
Yes.
So we've got to seize every moment mm-hmm. And to not leave things undone.
Right.
Just a quick example. You know, our older kids live in Kansas City, are both married, Kansas City area. Tommy's still at home. So I put together a group text that now I'll do a daily brief devotional. I mean, just a devotional nugget that I'll send out to them. Just something to help them think and get through their day and maybe be an encouragement to them. Mm-hmm. A scripture reference, just so it doesn't take all the space to type it in, but the reference and then just a nugget thought in that.
Outstanding.
And so what are some of those things that we can do in our relationships?
Yeah, how do you pack this together? You gave some good reflections.
Yes. Those reflection questions are, is my relationship with God the number one priority in my life? What does the way that I live my life say is more important to me? Are people or are things more important?
Yes.
And then finally, are there things that I have left undone in my relationships that I need to do or say? And if I could just say this, that mm-hmm. I carry this card. I'm in a learning cohort on the MNU campus, Mid-American Nazarene University yes. in Olathe, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And Tim Fields was a pastor in Garden City, Kansas, was also in that cohort. And we connected last November,
right,
the Thursday before Thanksgiving. He gave me his card and said, let's connect, let's talk, let's text. Mm-hmm. I waited on that.
Right.
And then early December, I had my heart attack.
Right.
He had a breathing issue with right. his lungs. Mm-hmm. And he went to be with the Lord right before Christmas.
He passed.
And I lived. And right. so in this, I did a lot of thinking and reflection on that.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend, Pastor Tim, is with the Lord now. And as I thought about it, I thought, I waited and didn't contact him before that. Mm-hmm. And so now this card remains in my wallet as a reminder to do the things that need to be done while we have the time.
All of us have had those moments. It's fantastic. Pastor Darren, we are out of time.
Oh, it's been great.
What an opportunity. And I hope today that as you're going through the things of your own life today and you're listening, I hope this speaks to you that, in fact, there is life outside of life here on earth.
Yes.
And there is a heaven, and there also is a hell.
Yes.
And it's very important for us, as your last points, live ready.
Yes.
I love that. Live ready. That should be always on the back of our minds. Let's have a word of prayer today in closing. And we just want to thank you again for participating. Thank you, Pastor Darren.
Thank you so
yes.
much.
Let's pray. Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day and the opportunity to share and listen to a testimony of a man who has passed away and the lessons he learned and how he's applying them, second chance at life. And how he's leading a church, leading his personal family, and leading the family of God. What an opportunity. And I just pray that maybe somebody out there listening today has heard these words, and you're looking for hope. There's things in your own life that you're struggling with. I pray that one of these 5 points would have spoken to your heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just get in those vehicles or you're at
yes.
somebody's home who's listening, and just encourage them today that you're yes. there, you care, and you have them in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, I want to again thank you for participating and listening to Vital Ministries. Give you strength and courage. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.